Hello and welcome back to a special episode of Podcast in a Pear Tree. We are so excited to have you back. I'm Aaron Lee.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danielle.
The three of us are all 90s kids. We love the 90s. And one of the movies we loved in the 90s was the 1996 classic Twister. We're all very excited that they're finally making a sequel and Twisters is coming out today. So in honor of the release of Twisters, we're going to review a classic film from 2012, The Christmas Twister, starring Casper Van Dien, Victoria Pratt, Richard Burgi, and Haley Lou Richardson.
Oh, classic.
I have to admit, this was my idea. I dragged Danielle and Samantha into this with me.
Yes, you did.
And I take full responsibility.
Oh, my gosh. At least you're taking responsibility.
Oh, yeah. So at least it'll be an entertaining conversation, I think.
Yes, exactly. Before we get started, what have you guys seen since December?
Bridgerton?
I watched Bridgerton.
Watched a lot of Bridgerton.
It's very spicy.
Super spicy, but I like it. They give the people what they want. Let's see what else. I am looking forward to some of Hallmark's Christmas in July films, but I haven't dove into it quite yet. Has anybody watched any of those?
Not yet.
Nope. You did share a link, so I briefly looked at it, and then I quickly moved away.
It's been a hot summer, folks. We're trying to get into Christmas.
Well, I've been planning a family visit. My parents are coming across the country to visit, and it's going to be quite the extravaganza. They're going to be with us for 20 days, and we are going from Victoria, British Columbia, to Seattle, to San Francisco, to LA, and it's just going to be absolutely insane. So a lot of my time has been taken up doing that. I did watch Bridgerton. I did like that. And you know what I've been rewatching? I understand why it was canceled and why it didn't catch on, but I personally really liked it was Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, and it's been really fun.
Is that one with Matthew Perry
and Bradley Whitford and Amanda Peet and Stephen
Weber this.
And Ed yeah. Asner and amazing guest stars from Sting to Felicity Huffman to Lauren Graham?
Sorry, I know the show, I just didn't watch it.
I know of it, but cool. I never really watched it either.
I feel like maybe around was that there was some other show that had it that took it took its place, and I think I watched that show.
The year that it came out, 30 Rock also started. So there were two shows that were the behind the scenes look at a late night comedy sketch show. It was so funny because I was working at Warner Brothers at the time in the tour department, and we all thought, what the heck is 30 Rock doing even trying to compete? This is a behemoth. This is going to be so good. And then it turned out that 30 Rock was so good, and this was niche, I'm going to say. I think it was really good, but it was really for a very specific demographic. And that specific demographic was not large enough to support the show.
How many seasons?
I think it was a one season thing. Yeah.
And they spent so much money. They spent so much money on that show for one season.
I've also been watching Love Island, Love Island UK. I'm going to start Love Island USA. I'm trying to get in all my summertime reality TV. But I don't know. Has anybody watched The Bear? Didn't they start a new season?
I think there is a new season. I haven't started it yet.
Oh, yeah. I finished it.
Oh, thoughts? Do you recommend?
So obviously, there's a lot of reviews about it, and it's all, I feel a little too critical. I mean, you're really trying to nitpick at this point. Do I think it is as strong as the first two seasons? I agree. It's not as, just because you get frustrated at how slow the storyline moves forward. But aside from that, I think it's still cool to watch and rewatch. And there's some really amazing episodes. I won't spoil anything. I'll just say that I like some of the character development episodes. But I will say after I saw that, I rewatched one and two and realized, wow, this is a really good show.
Excellent. So there you have it, folks. Now we're going to dive into The Christmas Twister. Is it The Christmas Twister or no, it's just Christmas Twister.
I was like, I don't know, Ellie. You're the one who chose this movie, so you should know the time.
Let me give you a brief recap here.
Thank goodness you're doing that.
Okay, here we go. Ready? It's just before Christmas on the outskirts of Fort Worth, Texas, when tornadoes start to touch down. Nobody believes it's happening. It's not tornado season, but for some reason, tornadoes are able to hide inside rainstorms so we can't see them on our Dopplers. Of course, climatologist Ethan Walker, played by Casper Van Dien, knows to look in the storm, and he says a lot more tornadoes are going to touch down. Of course, his news anchor wife, Addison's producer, won't let her go on TV and warn the people. So now we have tornadoes touching down all over Fort Worth, Texas at Christmas time, sucking people up. And that's what happens. What'd you think?
Well, I thought it was so crazy. Like, there are so many crazy things that were happening in this film, starting with, like, it seemed to be Texas, but then it also had elements of California. I was like, there's a lot of, like, craziness happening here. There's also some storylines, you know, some, maybe there was some, like, affairs that took place that we don't know about between the news anchor who is married to the meteorologist. No, what's, who is her husband? He's, like, the storm chaser
Ethan.
Guy?
He's a university professor guy. Climatologist, I think, maybe.
Climatologist.
That was my word, not theirs. He seemed like a climatologist. And something happened in Chicago. Before they moved to Fort Worth, something happened in Chicago. And when they're never quite clear on what happened in Chicago.
Also, nobody wanted to talk about it. And so I'm guessing she, like, did she have an affair with her meteorologist colleague? I don't know.
The weatherman?
The weatherman?
I don't know. All I can say is I smell a prequel. Let's go back. Let's investigate what happened in Chicago.
Oh, let's not. Not necessary.
Overall, what I'll say about this is it was better than I expected.
Okay.
I had sub-basement expectations. I thought this was going to be the worst thing I had ever seen. And I was just like, okay, tornadoes. Sure, it was not good. I'm not saying it was good. I'm just saying it surpassed my expectation, which was low.
It was a wild watch because it starts off with this family at this diner and this tornado's coming and they're trying to get out of there. And then they go into a shed that's not even underground and they're just like holding on for dear life.
Right, with a rope. He's like, they're like holding it with a rope and the tornado's picking up cars and throwing it around. I'm sorry, but this shipping container is gonna get picked up. But it doesn't.
And I feel like Christmas is like, I don't even know. It's not even a focus of this film whatsoever. It didn't even need to be about Christmas. It just felt like they wanted to make it a, like a Christmas film, but there's nothing about it that was really that Christmassy. It just happened to take place at Christmas.
Yeah, its original release date was December 16th, 2012. So maybe they were like, oh, well, we have this release date. Let's make it a Christmas movie. But I did love the cheesiest Dickensian carolers at the mall, and they weren't even in tune. Like, they were bad carolers.
Well, and I noticed the mall, they panned to the sign of the, like, the name of the mall, like, a million times, and it's called South Bay Pavilion. And I'm like, South Bay Pavilion, that looks so familiar to me. Like, why does that look familiar? And I looked it up, and yeah, I've been to that mall, like, a few times. It's right by the IKEA in Carson.
It's ridiculous.
So, it's not in Texas.
And Fort Worth, isn't that in the middle of Texas? There's no bay near Fort Worth. It's not like it's Galveston, where you're like, oh, look, the ocean is right there. No, it's just in the middle, in a desert. Ain't a bay around.
Also, I thought it was really light. Like, there's probably, like, skylights in, at the mall or whatever, but, like, I felt like it was a sunny day in California, because I'm like, if it's a storm, why isn't it, like, super dark outside? It was, like, so bright in there. I was like, what's happening? But they all kind of, the kids get stuck at the mall. The tornado goes through. The daughter's boyfriend gets sucked up into the tornado, and then they go into the storm shelter. But then when they come out, all of a sudden, it has this like horror film element to it where they come out of the debris and all of a sudden looks like they're sneaking around like someone's gonna kill them.
Right.
But, like, it's just really the storm.
I was literally yelling at the screen saying, a tornado is not a murderer. It doesn't get quiet and lie in wait for you to come out and then attack. It just a storm. It makes noise, and when the noise stops, you're good.
Yeah, there's a lot here that didn't make a lot of sense. It was so ridiculous. Danielle, what did you think?
I didn't think it was possible for a movie to be this pathetic.
And right?
Honestly, like, and Erly, your synopsis, that's all people really need to know. Normally for this, I watch it and then maybe I'll rewatch it closer to when we're going to record our commentary. I was like, I literally cannot rewatch this. I am not going to waste another hour of my life or however long it was trying to rewatch this movie, because you don't have to throw out logic out the window like you do to Christmas movies. You literally have to throw your brain out the window and just be like,
so true.
Yep. Okay. Every trope imaginable. And like special effects look like they were done by a middle schooler. And then when
they were pretty good for 2012.
For a middle school student who was maybe learning how to do special effects on like Final Cut Pro or something. Not even maybe an iMovie.
I did really like after the tornado hit the mall and the daughter comes out, you can see like there's all this debris right around her, but it's like this long shot down the mall and further down there is no debris at all. It's pristine. It's just like right around her. Like, this is not good.
Or like the cars that are in the parking lot of the mall and like clearly devastation had hit, but it didn't hit any of the cars in the parking lot apparently. Like,
no, it's so bad.
No sense. I was like, what is happening here? And like that whole, yeah, when the boyfriend flew away, but then when the moment happened where it was like, oh, it's an F6. It really pissed me off because, you know, in the original Twisters movie, an F5 was so crazy, but here, no, it had to be an F6. Yeah, because that makes sense. I was just like, it really doesn't exist. Like, literally, just I can't.
Well, let's talk about some of the actors that we saw in this. Of course, there was Casper Van Dien, who starred in the 1997 cult classic Starship Troopers. Anybody remember him from that?
Oh, now that you say that, yeah, I can kind of see that.
I'm like, that's his biggest claim to fame. Now, Victoria Pratt, I didn't know this because I didn't watch the show, but I was pretty excited when I read this. She was on 2 episodes of Xena Warrior Princess, and she's actually the one character who defeated Xena in battle.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought that was really interesting.
Props.
Of course, Richard Burgee, he played Terry Hatcher's ex-husband on Desperate Housewives. I think they were trying to cash in on his Desperate Housewives fame, as Desperate Housewives ended in 2012. This came out in 2012. So they were snagging him at his height. And then Haley Lou Richardson, she plays the daughter, and she went on to play Portia on season 2 of White Lotus. So,
which I did not catch. That did not track at all with me. I didn't catch that.
She looks very different in this. She looks very different.
Is she the daughter?
She's the daughter.
Not the teenage friend, but the daughter.
The daughter. I mean, interesting cast, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm with Danielle. It was so outrageous. Like, I kept saying the word outrageous. I'm like, this is just, like, insane. Like, even the part where there's always, like, this, like, they're in the middle of, like, Dallas-Fort Worth, but then there's this like little, what was that little town that had like, it looked like it had a bunch of saloons on it. Like it was an old timey like town.
Yeah, that was the town where they lived. So they lived just outside of Dallas-Fort Worth. And then she commuted into Dallas-Fort Worth for her anchor job. But they lived in this, like, they wanted that small town feel, you know, tumbleweeds rolling down Main Street and everything.
But it's like the Main Street, like the downtown area is like old timey, like gold rush, like saloon style, like buildings. But then they lived in like a gated community, like track home. Like, I don't really understand what was going on with all of that. And then I noticed there were some elements where they showed the port of Los Angeles, like when that weatherman, when the shipping container like flew at his face and killed him. Like, that was at the port of Los Angeles. Wait,
hold on. Spoiler alert.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, spoilers.
Spoilers.
I'm not dies. Recommending people watch this.
Please, we're saving everybody.
We spent the 90 minutes watching it. You don't have to.
Yeah, we did the dirty work. You don't have to do it.
You can thank us later.
I will say that after I watched it, there were like 2 other Twister films that popped up, like an Ice Twister. And then a fire one. I was like, oh my gosh. I didn't realize that this was like niche in the film industry. There's so many different types of Twister films.
It sounds like we could have a whole new podcast reviewing Twister movies.
All the different ones. Amazon will give you everything.
That is how I found this one, because we bought the 1996 Twister, and because we wanted to see it before Twisters comes out. And this came up as you might also like. And I was like, well, we've got to just review that one.
Yeah, so this one has nothing on the 1996 Twister film starring Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton.
Negative 100.
Please watch that movie. That movie was so much fun.
I feel like it's on Max right now.
I think it is.
I think we watched it during the pandemic, maybe. It hasn't been that long ago since I've seen that Twister film. So, but it's always a fun watch. Are you all going to go see the new one?
Oh, heck yeah. I'm so excited for it.
I'm excited to see, I guess, how they tell that story.
Other than they're going to chase Twisters again. I have no idea what the story of it's going to be, but I'm just really excited about it. I think Glenn Powell is really great. I think Daisy Ridley is really great. So I'm interested to see the two of them take on the roles.
So this isn't like connected to the original, or is it somehow?
Supposedly Daisy Ridley's character is like Bill Helen Paxton Hunt's daughter. And Helen Hunt's daughter.
Ah.
I think.
Okay,
but
cool.
I'm not 100% sure on that.
I could get on board with that story. But yeah, Christmas Twister didn't need to be about Christmas. There weren't that many Christmas elements in it at all.
Exactly. There weren't too many Christmas elements in it. And it really didn't have too much of a story. It was just Twisters kept landing and we had to run away from them. The whole Casper Van Dien being like, you've got to warn people. And Victoria Pratt being like, my producer won't let me. That was the biggest conflict between characters in this film. And it was pretty sad.
Well, it was because the last time they warned people about a Twister, they were wrong about it. And then they evacuated a bunch of people incorrectly.
Aww.
And there were
So funny. Oh, she's trying to reveal some logic and sense of what happened. Aw, that's so nice.
But here's my question. If Addison and Logan, so the news anchor and the weatherman, had an affair in Chicago, why did they both move to Fort Worth together?
Why
are they both going to go to New York together if she's patching things up with her husband? I'm confused.
Well, I think that was also another conflict, but we didn't get to see what was going on behind the scenes there. There were just like a lot of assumptions being made, but Ethan was always upset about the situation. So like why was she doing that? But then she also didn't want to talk about it ever. And I'm like, how are you going to resolve this? No one wants to talk about this. Ever. I don't
know. This
is
true.
But do we even care if they did? Danielle, you don't.
I mean, I'm just here listening in awe that you all are like revealing parts that make the plot line seem like there was something there. And I'm just like, dude, there was a scene at the end when they all are supposed to go to safety. They're in the news building and they're going underground to kind of be protected. And then, where's the one person who's missing? Oh, and she's pregnant.
The pregnant lady.
She went down all the way into like the storage at the bottom and she went to the furthest tunnel. And then she got trapped underneath all of this debris that fell on top of her where the Twister did not get. So what happened there? I don't understand. And then somehow the news anchor who was rescuing her, she had to take off her blazer and look like she's struggling.
We need to see those arms.
And this lady was pregnant and she's like, get me, help me. I'm like, was this necessary? No, this whole scene, I can't even. There are other parts to it, like when they were going out of the mall, the dad had gone in to go find his son, and then he comes out and he's like holding him in his arms, like looking like he rescued his son as if he's... I was like, you're trying to do too much in this movie and like put in all the tropes, and I was just, I can't. It's a big fat no.
It was weird because even at that point, didn't the Twister already go through? So like, how did he get like under all that debris? Did he fall on him?
He was trying to save an old man.
Oh my God. There was just so much ridiculousness. And then the daughter came out and was trying to save that girl that was like, help. Like underneath
talk about the actor, way too old for how she was acting and how they were talking to her. The girl at the beginning, I'm like, way too old to be holding a pinwheel and being like, mommy, let's go get pie. Like, sweetheart, you are 16.
Totally.
Okay, redeeming value, really cute dog.
Cool.
Yes, who ran away and they never even cared about it. They just cared assumed about that the dog. They just assumed the dog was smart enough to find its way home. I'm like, what is going on?
But it did.
Thank God, because that was really upsetting me. And then there was one point the dog ate something random. I'm like, what's going to happen to that dog? I don't know. That was really upsetting. I didn't like that part at all. What other redeeming qualities did this movie have?
None.
Zero. Even like the whole Ethan's team at the university, the person who's like the new assistant, who was kind of, I think, pretending to be the audience surrogate, trying to ask questions about Twisters, right? To give us information and context. Yeah. And I was like, oh gosh, this is so annoying. And then the person who was his other assistant, who was a little more knowledgeable, and then cheesily them getting together at the end, I was like, we're just throwing everything. We're just making everything. All the things happen. Let's just combine all of it and like it'll kind of work out. No.
The thing that entertained me about that whole thing was the assistant who kind of knew a little bit more. He was really, really dorky. But if you look at his like IMDb headshot, it's all like sexy and he's all like,
Well, and they made her look nerdy because she put glasses on, but it's like she's all that where like she takes the glasses off so that she's like beautiful all of a sudden. When it came out, did it go just straight to Freevee?
Well, I don't think Freevee was around back then, but I don't know where it was released.
I think I Googled that just because I wanted to be like, what network dared release this film? And I think it was like Ion or something like that. Not one of our regular go-tos or anyone's regular go-to. So I was like, okay. That makes sense.
I feel like this is crazier than like anything Hallmark or Lifetime, any of them have ever ventured to do.
Final thought here. None of us like Hot Christmas. So we were very disappointed in the ending where they're all sitting by their pool and all of our pool furniture is pristine after the tornado. And then we pan up and we can see the house that's been destroyed by the tornado and a Christmas tree sticking out of the second floor window. That was a nice touch.
That was the only nice touch. If the rest of the movie had been like that, you know, it might have been better. But I don't like Hot Christmas. A barbecue at Christmas time is like literally my worst nightmare.
A poolside barbecue.
Yeah, no, thank you. Absolutely not. No way. I don't care how good the Christmas tree is.
Danielle, any final thoughts?
I wish I hadn't watched it. It's okay.
I want my time back.
Yeah, don't we all?
At any rate, folks, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate you coming back and hearing our takes on these films. Please rate and follow.
And find us where you find your podcasts.
Goodbye.